So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 9, text 19, I believe. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tiryan Manusha Vibhudadishu Jiva Yonishu Atme Chiyatma Krita Setu Paripsya Yaha Prime Nirasta Vishyo Api Avaruda Dehas Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Purushottamaya. Tiryan Manushya Vibhudastishu Jiva Yonishu Jiva Yonishu Atme Chayatma Krita Setu Paripsayaya Reme Nirasta Vishayo Yavaruda Dehas Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Purushottamaya. Tiryan Manushya Vibhudadishu Jiva Yonishu Atme Chayatma Krita Setu Paripsaya Yaha Reme Nirasta Vishayo Pyavaruda Dehas Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Purushottamaya. Tiryan Manushya Vibhudadishu Jiva Yonishu Atma Krita Setu Paripsayaya. Reme Nirasta Vishayo Pyavaruda Dehas. Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Purushottamaya. Okay.
Should te purushottamaya.
Tiryak.
Animals lower than human beings.
Manusha.
Human beings.
Etc.
Vibhuda
Adishu.
Amongst the demigods.
Jiva Yonishu.
In different species of life.
Atma.
Self.
Ichaya,
by the will.
Atmakrita,
self-created.
Setu,
obligations.
Paripsya,
desiring to preserve.
Yaha,
who?
Reme,
performing transcendental pastimes.
Nidasta,
not being affected.
Vishyaha,
material contamination.
Api,
certainly.
Avaruda,
manifested.
Deyaha,
transcendental body.
Tasmai,
unto him.
Namaha,
my obeisances.
Bhagavate,
unto the personality of Godhead.
Purushottamaya,
the primeval Lord.
Translation,
O my Lord, by your own will you appear in the various species of living entities, among animals lower than human beings as well as among the demigods, perform your transcendental pastimes. You are not affected by material contamination. You come just to fulfill the obligations of your own principles of religion. And therefore, O Supreme Personality, I offer my obeisances unto you for manifesting such different forms. So you can repeat, O my Lord,
by your own will,
you appear in the various species,
of living entities.
Among animals lower than human beings.
Among animals lower than human beings.
As well as among the demigods.
As well as among the demigods.
To perform your transcendental pastimes.
To perform your transcendental pastimes.
You are not affected by material contamination.
You are not affected by material contamination.
You come just to fulfill.
You come just to fulfill.
The obligations of your own principles of religion. And therefore, O Supreme Personality,
I offer my obeisances unto you
for manifesting such different forms. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord's incarnations in different species of life are all transcendental. He appears as a human being in his incarnations of Krishna, Rama, etc. But he is not a human being.
Anyone who mistakes him for an ordinary human being is certainly not very intelligent, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:11. Avajanati mam buddha manushim tanam ashatam. The same principle is applicable when he appears as the hog or fish incarnations. They are transcendental forms of the Lord and are manifested under certain necessities of his own pleasure and pastimes. Such manifestations of the transcendental forms of the Lord are accepted by him mostly to enliven his devotees. All his incarnations are manifested whenever there is a need to deliver his devotees and maintain his own principles. So again, the verse. Hiryan manusha vibuddha dishu jiva yonichu atmechiyatma kritasetu paripsaya yaha reme nirasta vishayop yavaruda dehas tasmai namo bhagavate purushottamaya. So ganat nirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur miritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So there's several details about the Lord's ontology and the Lord's purpose in doing these things that we need to fill in here. First of all, I just want to mention a little fact that may be interesting to all of you, is that Prabhupada says elsewhere that Krishna appears in every species of life. That means we are hearing about, let's say, Pacha, Korma, Varaha, but there are actually over 8,400,000 types of incarnations. In fact, there's actually more. It's described in the Bhagavatam when there's a list of incarnations that there is many appearances of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as there are waves in the ocean. In other words, that's unlimited. And these appearances of the Lord in this world are actually called avatars. The word avatar technically means to cross down. Just like you have this word tara. Tara means to cross, ava means down. And another word that we have with the same part of the word, actually, is tirtha, which means a place that you go to cross up. You understand? It's like a bridge that you cross up with. So, anyway, the avatars cross down, they come down to this material world, and there's more avatars than our species of life. So, you know, one day you may see a cow incarnation of the Lord, or if there happens to be some bug walking on the floor with a peacock feather, just let him stay in the temple room. No, actually, he won't wear a peacock feather, but anyway. So, yes, Krishna appears in every species of life. So, the question is, why does he do such a thing? I mean, if you ask me, would you like to appear as a hog? I would say no. The reason being that when you appear in a hog body, certain modes of nature happen to affect you because you're actually controlled to a certain extent by the modes of nature in your body. That's why we have Varnashram. Some people are by nature Brahmins, some people by nature Kshatriyas, some people by nature Vaishyas, and then Shudras, or even less. So, depending on the modes of nature that affect them. But the Lord, Krishna, when he comes down in his original transcendental body. Avyopi sanna vyatmaha bhutanam isuropisham praptim swamadistaya sambhavami apamaya. I'm sure you're all familiar with that verse from the Bhagavad Gita. So, it's not the same as you or I becoming a hog or a dog and being forced by the modes of nature and forced by karma to take such a position. So the question is, why does Krishna do it? I mean, what's in it for him? So let's describe what's in it for him from several different angles of vision. One angle of vision is Pritranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chadushkutam. You know, he comes to annihilate the miscreants, establish religious principles, and protect the devotees. And there are devotees in different species of life. You know, and he comes to give association to those living entities in those particular species of life. So Prabhupada comments elsewhere that Krishna doesn't have to come down for the Parichranaya business. He can have his devotees or energies do that business, you know, destroying the miscreants, establishing religious principles, just like Prabhupada came down to establish religious principles, or different acharyas have come down to establish religious principles. You have the time factor, which is certainly capable, which was mentioned in yesterday's verse, which is capable of destroying everyone. Kalawas me mrityu sarvaharas chaham, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. You have the coronavirus, which is, you know, a very good manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You may see it as something separate from Krishna, but actually, in one sense, you could say it's arranged by Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, it states that if you see anything separate from Krishna, what is that? Ritayaratam na pratiyat? If you see anything separate from Krishna or from Krishna's control, then you're Maya. That's what the Bhagavatam says in the one of the Chaturshloka verses. And then the Bhagavad Gita states, for a devotee, Yobam Pashati Sarvatra, 6:30. Sarvam Chidmai Pashati, Yomam Pashati Sarvatra. I forget the rest of the verse right now. But one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor is ever nor am I ever lost to him. Chidmai Pashati. Anyway, so you have the these descriptions by Krishna that actually a devotee should see everything is connected to Krishna. And everything that happens is connected to Krishna, and Krishna's material energy is certainly capable of destroying the miscreants and protecting the devotees, and Krishna's devotees are certainly capable of establishing religious principles. So, then why does Krishna come? You know, why does he actually come himself? Well, he comes himself for his own enjoyment. If one has to analyze the nature or the psychology of the Supreme Personality of God, you know, why does Krishna do this, why does Krishna do that, then there's only one answer. And the answer is that Krishna does things because he wants to. And he wants to enjoy. That's the only answer. If you ask about my psychology or your psychology, you'll have to go back to your childhood, probably some past births, to try to analyze why you like certain things, why you do certain things. And it's not, there's some cause. There's always some cause in your own psychology. Whereas in Krishna's psychology, just like we hear about Krishna in the Brahma Samhita, Sarva Karana Karanam, Krishna's the cause of all causes, but his psychology has no cause either. You know, why do I like certain foods? Because my mother fed them to me when I was young. Like right now, one of the foods I'm eating at night is kasha. I don't know if anyone's heard of kasha before. It's an Eastern European dish. It's toasted buckwheat, in case you don't know.
Yummy.
You like it? And I'm just in ecstasy eating it every day. Probably because, you know, my family, we had kasha, and it reminds me of my childhood, and like that. So you can trace out, you know, why I like certain things, why I don't like certain things, from my childhood, or from past experiences, or from my conditioning in past lives, as I mentioned before. But Krishna is not like that. I mean, for example, when Krishna was young, his mother chased after him with a stick, right? To hit him, because, you know, he broke in the butter pot. And so it's not that when Krishna gets older that he's traumatized each time he sees a stick. You know, PTSD. You know, we have trauma sometimes from things that we see, some things that happened before. It's not like that. Krishna's swarat, he's independent. And he's apta kama, as described in the Bhagavatam, which means he gets whatever he wants, whenever he wants it. He's not controlled by any other factor. And everything he does is out of his own sweet will, which is actually what's mentioned in the verse and purport today, too. Apta kama. Apta kama means he just wants it and he gets it. It's like our ultimate dream is to have Aladdin's lamp. Just like when I was on the way here in the airplane, they were playing this movie, Aladdin's. Aladdin? You heard of that before? No. No one's heard of it. You're all innocent Hare Krishna devotees, brought up in the Hare Krishna movement. Don't know anything about the material world. Anyway, this is a story where they rub a lamp and a genie comes out. Genie? No. A male witch. I don't know what you call it. Is there another name for it, Goku?
Jinn.
Sorry, a jinn comes out. Not the stuff you drink. And he says, your wish is my demand. Your wish is what I'm going to do for you. And so we dream about a situation like that. In fact, the non-devotees have published a book and a movie called The Secret, right? You heard it? Heard about that? Mm-hmm. Where their whole philosophy is the universe is meant to fulfill all your desires. Crazy, new age, nonsense, CRAP. So what they propose is that if you desire something enough, let's say if I desire a Maserati, you know what a Maserati is? No, a car. And I just think about it 24 hours a day, I'll wake up one morning and find it outside my door. That would be nice.
We have to take a few birds.
So, but Krishna is like that. What does apta kama mean? He just desires it, and because his energies are what? First-class servants. Mm-hmm. Like, the first-class servant does whatever you want without you asking because he knows what you want. Like Rupa Goswami, it's described, he's a first-class servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadavayam Dadati Swapatantiko. So Krishna just desires something. That happens. He's independent. So Krishna is being chased by Mother Yashoda. He desired to be chased by Mother Yashoda. He desired to feel fear. It's not that, you know, things got out of control and his devotee just lost her temper at him. Krishna set her up. So, whatever. Anyway, so the point is Krishna's independent. Everything happens according to his desires. So get back to the point of why does he take these animal species of life? Well, Krishna wants to have different experiences. That's really the internal reason. Like when we talk about the Lord's advent, we talk about the exoteric reason and the esoteric reason. Exoteric is Parichanaya Sadhanam. Esoteric is, you know, his own personal enjoyment. Like with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the exoteric reason for his advent was to start the Sankirtan movement. And the esoteric reasons were to see himself from Radharani's perspective, to enjoy from her perspective, to have the same enjoyment his devotees have, and to understand her love for him. So these were his internal reasons. So Krishna is called Rasa Raj, which means the king of tastes. The word ras means a taste, or as probably sometimes translated, mellow. It's not a commonly used word in English, but it means basically a taste. Sometimes the devotees use the word rus to be synonymous with relationship. It's not really synonymous with relationship. It's the taste of a particular relationship. When we talk about conjugal rus, if we talk about sakya rus, then we're talking about the taste of that particular relationship. So Krishna wants to have these different tastes of different experiences, and many of these tastes, of these experiences, are not available in the spiritual world. For example, we're talking right now about indirect rasas. You've heard about these before? There's five direct rasas and seven indirect rasas. So in the spiritual world, you don't have ghastliness, do you? As far as I know, what does ghastliness mean? Does anyone know?
Very unpleasant.
Yes. Well, it means gross, disgust, you know, like blood flowing through the streets. Heads being chopped off and float. I'm not making this up. This is in the Bhagavatam. Yeah, I mean, this is more ghastly than any movie Hollywood has ever put out. That you have chopped off heads. Or even Krishna chopping off the head of Shishupal in the middle of the Rajasuya sacrifice. Can you imagine, you know, you're sitting here in class and I throw this, what's that ninja thing at Gokul or something?
Everybody applauds.
No, they wouldn't applaud. They'd probably call 911. But that's what ghastliness is. I mean, just picture your mind's eye. What it would look like to have someone like me chop their head off in the middle of Bhagavatam class. It's disgusting. But this is a ras, isn't it? According to the acharyas, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, it's a ras of theology. I mean, because when I read about these things, I picture them, you know, that's what I do when I read. I picture the pastime in my mind. Those of us who were brought up in the non-computer generation, we learned how to read. When I'm talking about reading, I'm not just reading the words, but when we read a book or a novel, we actually saw that in our minds. Isn't that true, Google?
Yeah.
But a lot of the younger people who were brought up in the computer generation, they're used to like having the videos, and the imagination is not so developed anymore. Reading is a wonderful skill. Anyway, so if you picture this in your mind, and Krishna's enjoying that, this ghastliness or this fear. It's like when Krishna's friends were swallowed by the Agasura. For a second, you know, Krishna was just bewildered and fearful. What am I going to do about my friends? Of course, this is Yogamaya, and so the Krishna forgets he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because without forgetting he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what's the enjoyment for him? You know, if he just thinks, well, I'm God, I'll take care of it, okay, die. Die, demon, die, demon, die, die, die. Or no, even better, no demon, no demon, no demon. Everything is wonderful, like some Walt Disney thing. You know, if you ever been to Walt Disney World, the small world? It's a small world, everyone's beautiful, everything's wonderful. So, but that's boring. The one thing is Krishna doesn't want to be bored. So he wants to taste all these rasas, the direct rasas, the indirect rasas, like chivalry, ghastliness. Of course, can anyone guess what my favorite indirect rasa is? Humor, yeah. That's my favorite one. Of course, that he also has in the spiritual world. But some of these are... So therefore, Krishna wants to have every conceivable type of taste. And he comes down to this world and enjoys. I mean, just like little kids sometimes, they want to make believe they're a bird or a tortoise or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or leapfrog. Has anyone played leapfrog when they were young? Leapfrog, I'm a frog, I'm a dog, bow wow. And Krishna, all those different characteristics that we see manifest in people in this world, and desires to enjoy in different ways, they're manifest originally, they're coming from Krishna. Krishna, aham sarvasya prabhu matak sarvam pravartate. Krishna is the source of everything. You know, perfect Krishna, om purnam purnam idam. Krishna is perfect and complete, and so many complete and perfect emanations come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So really, that's why Krishna appears in all these pieces of life, because the other stuff, like Parichanaya, I know I'm repeating myself, can be done by his energies or by other personalities for enjoyment. Now, another topic is, as I mentioned in the beginning of class, is his ontological position that we find described in the Brahma Sanghita. Advaita Chuta Nadir Anantarupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. That there is only one God. He's not many gods. And when Krishna appears, excuse me, when Krishna appears in these various species of life and various incarnations and various pastimes, he's the same person, but acting in unlimited places, in unlimited forms, simultaneously. And then sometimes he's having interactions with another form of his at the same place, which is like inconceivable from in our minds. Krishna is, for example, Krishna is interacting with Balaram, and he's having disagreements with himself. One disagreement that comes to mind is when Balaram wanted to get Subhadra married to Duryodhana. You know, Krishna had a different idea. And Krishna couldn't even tell himself, Balaram, about his different idea. Krishna had to be tricky and arrange for his friend Arjuna to kidnap Subhadra. And then Balaram was angry, and Krishna had to cool him down. And that's the same person. I mean, if that's not inconceivable, I don't know what is. If you think about it. And it's all for enjoyment. Krishna interacting with his various expansions, because Balaram is his first expansion. And so Krishna interacting with him and having some argument and convincing Balaram is all right for Arjuna to marry Subhadra. And then after that, Balaram gets frustrated, thinking, you know, Krishna did it again. He disagreed with me. I'm the elder brother. So he's frustrated because, according to Vedic culture, the elder brother has to be obeyed. This is not American culture.
Maybe he also picks the bride for his sister.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the culture. Krishna went against culture. Oh my God. What happened to Yadyada Charity Shrestas Tantadi Vedaro Janaha? So anyway, so I mean, it's so interesting. Even if you examine, go back to Lord Ram and Lakshman. Lakshman always obeyed Lord Ram because he followed the culture. But he got the benediction from Lord Ram that he wouldn't have to appear as Lord Ram's younger brother anymore. But even when he appeared as the older brother, Krishna didn't listen to him. So, you know, you got Balaram and Lakshman that are in a similar situation of not agreeing with what Krishna and Ram said. But, you know, one case, Lakshman listened to him, another case, Lakshman. Anyway, it's really an interesting, complicated affair where you have these interactions between the Lord or the other pastime in the Krishna book, a 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Mahavishnu wanted to see Krishna and Arjuna, so he had to steal this Brahmana's sons. And then Krishna and Arjuna have to take the trouble of just like piercing through the carrion of the material universe to go see Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu says, I just wanted to see you. And it's the same person.
He referred to them as Nara Narayan.
Yeah, Nara Narayan. And which are the same is the same person. You know, Nara, of course, is Arjuna, Narayan is Krishna. So, if that I mean, that to me, that is just such an amazing thing when you can have the same person interacting with himself in different situations, unlimited different situations simultaneously, because Lord Ram's pastimes are going on right now. Krishna's pastimes are going on in some universe in the material world, of course, in the spiritual world. Goloka Evidivashati Aki Latma Bhuta. But that's God. That's the nature of God. So to reiterate everything I said in class, God is independent, he gets what he wants, number one, and everything he does is for his enjoyment, and ontologically, which means his true nature, he is always the same person, but in unlimited circumstances, acting differently, and even interacting with himself in different circumstances, and not even being aware of how he's interacting with himself in different circumstances. We have an amazing philosophy, isn't it? I mean, nowhere will you find such an elaborate description of the nature of God or such an understanding of God's omnipotence. You understand? And also as God as the supreme enjoyer. Like in Christianity, you don't have God as the supreme enjoyer, he's the supreme judge. And as far as his omnipotence, you know, you don't really find a description about that.
Kind of confined to the Holy Ghost.
Well, yeah. The Holy Ghost, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's, you know, he's everywhere. You find, well, he's everywhere. But, you know, as far as being all-powerful, there are many Christian theologians who have discussed this topic about how is God all-powerful. And many of them have come to the conclusion that God is the creator, but he sort of lost control. Everything was created. Yeah, that's one particular philosophy written by a man named Harvey Cushman or something like that. How God created the universe. He's like the person who's threw the first baseball out at the first game of the season. And he started the game, but, you know, things got out of control. He's good, he's nice, but, you know, he can't really handle all the things that are going on. But we have this amazing philosophy. God is in everyone's heart. He's in every atom. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of God. And he's also simultaneously in the spiritual world. Goloka Evidivashati Aki Latma Bhuta. He's also expanded by his energies. And he gets whatever he wants whenever he wants it, and he's in different places. I can go on and on. Simultaneously doing the same different things in different bodies, and he appears as animals and every single species of life. Isn't that inconceivable? If you think about it, our description of the nature of God or Krishna is amazing. It's enough to, in hippie parlance, blow your mind. And that's what I've been describing in class. So anyone have any questions about
any of these points? I don't know where to begin. I mean, it's really fantastic. I really appreciate it. You know, it blew my mind. And
it is. It just blows your mind when you think about it. He gets whatever he wants, and he's all over every atom, every cell of your body, and things are so, and he designed everything. And the material energy is so incredibly complex. His intelligence is so amazing. Like I was describing the other day in one of the classes I was giving about the nature of the cell in the human body, that each cell is more complex than all the cities in the United States put together. And he's designed all these things so that, you know, incredibly, unlimitedly intelligent, unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly free will. I could say that, you know, others may say they understand Krishna. I don't. Yeah.
So it's amazing that this supreme, unlimited, intelligent, powerful person comes into this world, incarnates.
Yeah.
But you know, to experience the process, he has to have his friends and his devotees.
Yeah.
He actually comes to give pleasure to his devotees.
That's right.
And, you know, they have that reciprocation. And it gets so much to the point that the supremely unlimited, powerful person is being controlled by the lesser, insignificant, little, really enemy.
Yeah.
That leads to one of the things when you were saying about he wanted to be chased by Jasoda.
Yeah.
But she wanted to be his mother. She wanted to be able to chastise him. So which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
This is eternal. Jasoda is eternal.
But I mean, you're saying this is what
these pastimes are eternal. It's not that
he wants it, but she wants it.
They both want it eternally. This pastime of Damodar Leela is not something that started at a certain point, like 10 billion, yuga cycles ago or something like that. It's eternally going on. These things are beyond time. These pastimes are beyond time. It's hard for us to even conceive of what it means to be beyond time. Yes, Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees. He chooses to be controlled by the love of his devotees. Like we know Krishna's called Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid, but Krishna is attracted by Madan Mohan Mohini, who is Srimati Radharani, the attractor of Cupid. So you got this reciprocal relationship. That's another nature of the Lord that actually I had left out in my discussion, that you have this reciprocal relationship where Krishna actually is controlled by his devotees. And also Krishna loves, some people talk about causeless love. Well, Krishna loves us so much that he wants us back with him, but he doesn't need us. Like we mentioned, that Krishna's independent, swarat, aptakama, so he doesn't need anyone. Because he can, let's use the story of Dharanarayan Rishi, since you mentioned that. Like Indra comes down with all these dancing girls to attract Dharanarayan Rishi, And spring comes down, Cupid comes down, and Dharanarayan Rishi, they just yawn, and Krishna just produces a whole bunch of apsaras from his own body. He says, if you like them, take one home with you. And can you imagine that? That's how Urvasi came. That was Urvasi, who was taken home by Indra. Yes, yes, you, Indra?
Oh, my question? Yeah. I'm wondering if the Jivatma, because the Jivatma also has some minute independence, just like Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So can the Jivatma also do something just because he wants to do something, just like Krishna, without having so many psychological, physical causes,
He's dependent on Krishna. He's not a swarat like Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
We can desire, what do they say, man proposes, God disposes.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing about this secret philosophy, which I touched on in class, where people think if you simply want something enough, you'll get it. In one sense, it may be true, because if you have good karma, if you have bad karma, you're going to get something you don't want.
But when your karma changes, you're not as powerful to get everything.
When you're used up, like they say, Shine Punye Marcha Loka Vishanti, when your good karma runs out, you leave the heavenly planets. So, and then also as far as a devotee, Krishna doesn't give a devotee something that will be harmful for their spiritual life. A devotee could really want something. Many times I've asked Krishna for things and he hasn't given them to me. Like, Krishna, can I have a few billion dollars? I can really help build the temple in Mayapur. Sometimes I do ask Krishna for things like that. Not for myself. Not I need a new outfit. A new silk outfit. Anyway, we do ask Krishna for things. Krishna, can you send a few billion dollars so we can have this temple built, so we can have our own TV stations and everything like that? Krishna hasn't done it because we're not ready to utilize that in his service. And then Krishna takes away things from devotees. Like Prabhupada, he was attempting to make his family Krishna conscious, right? And be successful in business, all for the right reasons. He wanted business to be successful, not to enjoy, but to have money to print and publish books and preach Krishna consciousness. And Krishna took it all away. One of Prabhupada's favorite verses is Yashaham Anagriname Harishe Tandanam Shanai. For those who I especially favor, I take away everything. His friends and relatives reject him. So when I heard that verse, I thought, Krishna, don't favor me too much. You know, I got a little mercy, but not a lot of mercy. But the point is that, no, that Krishna doesn't give people what they want. Except for the free will, they can surrender to Krishna or not surrender to Krishna. But as far as like objects of enjoyment, no. It's not that.
They have the, in the spiritual world, like I mentioned about Gopal Bhatta yesterday.
Yeah.
The houses are made of the
Chintamani
stone, and the trees are shading, are desired trees, and the Sarabi cows provide you whatever you wish.
Yeah.
So in the spiritual world, that is what happens.
And Krishna's got a house for you
there. Yeah. But you wish everything to please Krishna. It's not like, you know, I picture, it's like in the material world, it's like going to Baskin Robbins ice cream. But, you know,
How
many flavors?
30, I think. 31 or so.
31, whatever it is.
I don't,
you know, so as new devotees, sometimes we picture going to the desire cow, and it's like going to the ice cream store. You know, can I have some Swiss cheese? And pakoras, and halva, you know, whatever. Or kasha. So, but it's not like that. The devotee's desire is perfectly dovetailed in the pleasure of Krishna. So you're thinking, you know, can I have some sweet rice to offer to Krishna?
But can I just... you mentioned one brief sentence that flew by, and something I've thought about.
Okay.
So, every species, and then you said, and there are devotees in every species. So, in other words, when he appears as an ant, there are ant colonies.
It's an interesting question. Prabhupada's specific quote is he comes to give association.
To those devotees who are in that species.
Well, Prabhupada didn't say devotees, but association to whatever, the jiva souls of those species.
To attract living entities back.
Back to him, yeah. Mm-hmm. To attract living entities. Yeah, that's what Prabhupada said, attract living entities back to him. And also, it's interesting for us, it attracts us. Mm-hmm. Even though we may not be an ant or a cockroach in this life, then we are attracted by hearing about this.
So then progress in the evolutionary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
You know, like if you chant to a bug or give a bug prasadam. I remember when many years ago I was teaching children Krishna consciousness. I was nice. I wasn't one of the bad guys. Prabhupada wrote a letter to us saying that if you feed the ducks this leftover bread, which we were feeding every Saturday at the duck pond, they will become devotees or human beings in the next life. So living entities take prasadam, you know.
I remember when I was a new devotee, and Henry Gopal Krishna went to India on a holiday. He was working for, I think, PepsiCo.
Yeah.
He took his wife to India, and he came back, and he told us, he asked Prabhupada, what happens if a dog eats prasadam? He said, no, they get a human birth. And then he asked, what happens if he takes Maha Prasadam? Mm-hmm. They go back to Godhead.
Wow.
The animal's not committing sins.
Wow. So, and then one thing we should understand, this came to mind, is that every single creature is as dear to Krishna as we are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we tend to think that we're superior. Of course, the human body is superior in one sense, if we use it properly. But as far as Krishna's love, it's exactly the same for the cockroaches it is for us. It's pretty humbling to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If Krishna were personally speaking to you and he said, of all the sannyasis, I'm dear Krishna.
would say, Krishna, you're in Maya today.
I mean, he actually tells Arjuna of the Pandavas, I'm Arjuna, in a conversation.
Yes.
So, I mean, I appreciate when you're saying, I don't really understand Krishna. I mean, I certainly don't understand. I mean, I can understand Arjuna's the representative,
yeah,
and so on, as Prabhupada explains, but in a conversation, how would you take that? If you're Arjuna and Krishna tells you, I'm Arjuna.
Well, first of all, Arjuna is eternally traveling with Krishna in each and every incarnation or avatar. Prabhupada mentions that, like, specifically when in the Bhagavad Gita talks about how Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, the sun god, millions of years before, and Arjuna was there at the same time and he couldn't remember it. So Arjuna is his constant companion. That's a specific category. So the question is, if Krishna said of all the sannyasis, I would say, you know, Krishna's just trying to encourage me. That's the way I would take it. But, you know, this is Krishna's vibhuti, you know, Krishna's opulence. And Arjuna was not just an ordinary kshatriya, even from the external viewpoint. Arjuna had all these amazing weapons. He was the best bowman around. You know, it's... Yeah, he's just not an ordinary fighter.
But he lost
it at the end when Krishna disappeared from the planet.
Anyway, but I want to just mention that. I'm sorry, you have to handle it.
Well, go ahead with
your thought. Is that this concept of we can't understand him? Well, what Chaitanya is an incarnation where he's trying to understand what he doesn't understand about himself.
Yeah. Yeah, and also we have the story about Ananta Shesh trying to glorify Krishna and understand Krishna. And he never comes to an end of the glorification because Krishna's glories expand unlimitedly at every minute. So it's not that Krishna has a certain amount of glories or opulences. They expand unlimitedly at every unlimited second. And what does that mean? That's why Lord Brahma said, others may say that they understand Krishna, but I don't. So that's Lord Brahma's statement, and I was just parodying Lord Brahma's statement when I said that. Mm. So who else had a question? Yes?
I was wondering about this. You said the seven indirect rasas?
Yeah.
All of them or just some of them that can only be experienced in the material world?
But just some of them.
Okay, some of them. Because if like the Lord and his associates, they come to the material world to experience like some certain excitement, it almost sounds like some amusement park.
It's like a traveling roadshow. Prabhupada said that. And another one is Aldarya, compassion. That can be most fully expressed in this material world. You know, so some of them can be expressed in the spiritual world, but to a greater degree. Like, you know, I guess anger to a certain degree, but not really fully manifest in the spiritual world. And ghastliness, not at all. So, but Krishna wants to enjoy whatever variety there is. Krishna wants to be part of it. Because he's an enjoyer. That's it. That was the point I was making about Krishna's psychology. That whatever he does because he wants to enjoy it. And whatever we do, it's because we're conditioned. Right?
Even by Yoga Maya or
Mahamaya. Yeah, I mean, but Krishna allows himself to be under Yoga Maya sometimes. But anyway, we are conditioned by our impurities. That's why Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahat Bhakti Nirvapanam. The whole point is to purify ourselves or cleanse the mirror of the mind from these impurities. Anyway, I think, since we started late, it's a little late.
Can I have a comment?
Because we have to take prasadam so we can take a human birth the next life. What? What's
can
that?
Can I make a comment and you can correct it if necessary?
Yeah.
In reference to what Veda said about Krishna, where Krishna said of sannyasis on Veda Krishna Maharaj, in reference to that, our philosophy of the Chinchaveda Veda Tattva, Krishna is everything.
Yeah.
Everything is not Krishna. You're not Krishna. But if Krishna wants to be there, Krishna Maharaj, he has no problem.
Well, like Krishna says in the Gita, he says that I'm the ability of man, the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent. Yeah. So yes, in one sense, you know, every one of us is manifesting Krishna. But we're not Krishna. So, you know, in one sense that may be true about any of us. Of temple presidents, I'm Yogendra. Yeah, you have a question.
When
Vinod stole
the power
voice, Krishna made
replicas. Can we have to be the power?
Yeah. What? What's the status of? That's right.
He
can't be that.
We're eternally separate individuals.
What's that?
He can't actually be us.
No, Krishna cannot be us.
So that's one thing, and he needs us because he loves us. But he doesn't need us because he can replicate us just fine.
Well, he can replicate us, and there's also a whole bunch of other people he can interact with too.
Yeah, but he couldn't
be the coward boys.
Yeah, so Vinayak gave the longest prayer because he had to apologize to Moses. He took Krishna's friends away.
And then but Krishna has, let's say, Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahmana Sevimanam Govindamadi Purusham. Krishna has unlimited Lakshmis. Krishna is not Lakshmi. You know, that's his energy. But Krishna has unlimited Lakshmis and unlimited friends and unlimited sannyasis and unlimited temple presidents. There's only one temple president here. Like Prabhupada said about Tamal Krishnamurti, he wants to be the supreme controller. I'm not saying you do, Yogi, sorry. That wasn't the point.
Well, that's obvious. Tomorrow can control much better than me.
Yeah. But you know, Prabhupada told that whole story. He said there's many, 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 many universes, and there's one universe, and we're in one of those universes. And in this universe, there's unlimited planets, and we're in one of the planets. And there's many, many cities in this particular planet, and we're in one of these cities. And there's many, many streets in this city, and we're in one of these streets. And there's many, many houses on that street, and we're in one of the houses. Inside that house is Tamal Krishnamurti, and he wants to be the supreme controller. That was... Prabhupada was very humorous in that way. All right, I think we have to end now. Thank you very much. Sorry for being late. It was a GBC meeting.
Oh,
all glory to divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.